Chapter 32. "Today," said Fight Officer Woodham, "we're going to try a few new things. Spinning, side-slipping, and how to come out of a stall." His voice was gentle, and before he pulled on his helmet, he turned his dark, fine-featured face towards me and smiled. Walking over the grass, I thought what a likable chap he was. I could have made a friend of him. But he was always like that on the ground. He was altogether different in the air. Yet I could never understand it. Flying was no trouble at all. And as we spun and dropped and soared about the summer sky, his instructions appeared simple and easy to carry out. But the rot, as always, began to set in very soon.
"Didn't I tell you, opposite rudder and stick to sideslip?"
he bawled over the intercom.
"Yes, sir,"
was all I replied, instead of the more appropriate,
"That's just what I'm doing, you stupid bugger,"
which I might have used in civil life. The goggled eyes bulged in the mirror.
"Well, why the bloody hell aren't you doing it?"
His voice rose to a wild shriek.
"Sorry, sir." "Well, take her up. All try again. And for God's sake, keep your wits about you."
It was the same with the spins and stalls. I hadn't the slightest difficulty in pulling out of them, but at times I thought my instructor was going out of his mind. Berserk cries rang in my ears.
"Full opposite rudder and centralize the stick! Centralize it! Can't you hear me? Oh, God! God!"
And, of course, the panic gradually crept in and I began to crack. One moment I could see the railway station in front of me whirling around in crazy circles, then there was nothing but the empty heavens, and within seconds fields and trees would start to rush at me. Everything kept changing bewilderingly except the enraged eyes in the mirror and the exasperated yells.
"Centralize it, you bloody fool! Keep your eye on that cloud! Watch your artificial horizon! Don't you know what the altimeter's for? I told you to keep at 1,000 feet, but it's like talking to a bloody wall!"
After a while, a kind of numbness took over, and the words rang meaninglessly in my head, one sentence seeming to contradict another. Desperately, I tried to sort out the volleys of advice, but the whole thing began to slip from my grasp. I had felt like this somewhere before. There was a familiar ring about this jumble in my brain. Then it came back to me. It was like being back at the Burt Whistles. The trouble with the Burt Whistles was that they all spoke at once. Mr. Burt Whistle invariably discussed his livestock, his wife concentrated on family matters, and Len, their massive 18-year-old son, talked of nothing but football. I was examining Nellie, the big white cow that always stood opposite the doorway in the grey stone byre. She had been lame for over a week, and I didn't like the look of her. "Lift her foot, will you, Len?" I said. It was wonderful to have a muscular giant to hoist the hind limb instead of going through the tedious business of hauling it up with a rope over a beam. With the cloven hoof cradled in the great hands, I could see that my fears were realized. The space between the cleats was clear, but there was a significant swelling around the interphalangeal joint. I looked up from my stooping position. "Can you see that, Mr. Birtwistle? The infection is spreading upwards."
"Aye, aye."
The farmer thrust a finger against the tumified area, and Nellie flinched.
"It's going up her leg on that side, right enough. I thought it was nowt but a bitty fowl, and I've been putting..."
"Bagger!"
Len interjected.
"The lads had a good win against Ellaby on Saturday. Johnny Nudd got another couple of goals in..."
"Putting that caustic lotion between her cleats."
Mr. Birdwhistle didn't appear to have heard his son, but he was always like that.
"Doing it regular, night and morning, and I'll tell you the best way to do it. Get a hen feather and..."
"I wouldn't be surprised if he scores a few more this Saturday," continued Len unheedingly.
"It's a right bobby dazzler when he... You just dip it in lotion and push the feather in between cleats. It works like a... Gets that ball on his right foot, he just whacks him in."
I raised a hand. "Wait a minute. You must realize this cow hasn't got foul. She has suppurative arthritis in this little joint just at the coronet here. I don't want to use a lot of big words, but she has pus, matter, right inside the joint cavity, and it's a very nasty thing. Mr. Birtwistle nodded slowly.
Sort of an abscess, you mean? Well, maybe it'd be best to lance it. Wouldn't you let matter out, it would just like a rocket,
went on Len. I'll tell you, Johnny could get a trial for Darlington one of these days, and then... I always think it is polite to look at a person when they are talking to you, but it is difficult when they are both talking at once, especially when one of them is bent double and the other standing behind you. Thank you, Len, I said. You can put a foot down now. I straightened up and directed my gaze somewhere between them. The trouble with this condition is that you can't just stick a knife into it and relieve it. Very often the smooth surfaces of the joint are eaten away and it's terribly painful. Nellie would agree with me. It was the outside cleat which was affected, and she was standing with her legs splayed sideways in an attempt to take the weight on the healthy inner digit. The farmer asked the inevitable question.
Well, what are we going to do?
I had an uncomfortable conviction that it wasn't going to make much difference what we did, but I had to make an effort. We'll give her a course of sulfanilamide powders, and I also want you to put a poultice on that foot 3 times daily.
Poultice?
The farmer brightened.
I've been doing that. I've been... If Darlington signed Johnny Nord, I reckon...
Hold on, Len, I said. What poultice have you been using, Mr. Birtwistle?
Cow shit,
the farmer replied confidently. You can't beat a good cow shit poultice to bring to bad out. I've used it for them bad cases to...
I'd have to go through to Darlington now and then instead of watching the Kestrels, Len broke in. I'd have to see how Johnny was getting on with them professionals because...
I managed a twisted smile. I liked football myself, and I found it touching that Len ignored the great panorama of league football to concentrate on a village team who played in front of about 20 spectators.
Yes, yes, Len. I quite understand how you feel.
Then I turned to his father. I was thinking of a rather different type of poultice, Mr. Birtwistle. The farmer's face lengthened and the corners of his mouth drooped.
Well, I've never found out better than cow shit, and I've been among stock all my life.
I clenched my teeth. This earthy medicament was highly regarded among the Dales farmers of the 30s, and the damnable thing was that it often achieved its objective. There was no doubt that a sackful of bovine feces applied to an inflamed area set up a tremendous heat and counter-irritation. In those days, I had to go along with many of the ancient cures and keep my tongue between my teeth, but I never prescribed cow shit, and I wasn't going to start now.
Maybe so,
I said firmly, but what I was thinking of was kaolin. You could call down at the surgery for some. You just heat the tin in a pan of hot water and apply the poultice to the foot. It keeps its heat for several hours. Mr. Birtwistle showed no great enthusiasm, so I tried again.
Or you could use bran.
I see you've got a sack over there. He cheered up a little.
Aye, that's right.
Okay, put on some hot bran 3 times a day and give her the powders and I'll see her again in a few days.